Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We're back. We're back after a hiatus of 2 weeks.
That was terrible. I got a lot of little emails in. Where are you? What's happening? People are freaking out all over the place. I don't know what to do.
If they followed you on Twitter, they'd know that you were still floating around and you were still giving instructions for the closer to the pin contest.
Yeah, I was. We were kind of working that. Things are working really like a charm. We had a couple little incidents of... This is the first one, the Disney, which we'll get to in a minute, the close to the pin where we had Walt Disney as the starter, the tester, the first one. We had a couple little things happen, but working out real well. And that was, I was kind of handling that while I was in Panama for a few days. Have you been there?
I've always wanted to visit it. It's supposed to be really nice nowadays because they've gussied the place up.
Yeah, they have. You know, it's interesting. They have, in the city of Panama City, they have all these very... tall buildings that are very small footprints, like almost like spires. Can you imagine that? Right? You know, and I'm looking around like, what is going on? Why don't they make it a little bit wider or bigger? And why is that? And it turns out a couple of things. First of all, land is supposedly very expensive. I guess the way they do it so that they can build up, it's a little bit better. But the other thing is,
can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Taxes.
Probably taxes. Yeah. Taxes are a big thing there. Half of the income and the revenue for the entire country comes from the canal. Which I guess is
That didn't surprise me.
Yeah,
I want to know. I've always wondered what you should have found out. So, what does it cost to go through that thing?
I have that information.
Ah,
I have that information. So, let me just tell you about these buildings for a second. So, one of the other things is they have no natural disasters. I guess they don't have hurricanes, they don't have tornadoes, they don't have earthquakes. So, these buildings can be set up this way that aren't exactly as stable as other places.
Doesn't look safe.
Yeah, it doesn't look safe at all. But some of them are really cool. There's like three or four buildings that have this green glass. It looks like an emerald village. And it's a place of probably three very distinct income levels. Clearly, one of them living in these high rises, these beautiful buildings. Another one is just your average. And then the third is just godforsaken.
Ah.
It's like a place they tell you, do not go.
There's areas, don't visit.
Don't go. It's dangerous. There's like 32 different gangs. The triads over here, the Chinese gangs over there, and kind of crazy. The Panama Canal. So I did some scuba diving. I dove two oceans in one day. In the morning, I dove the Pacific. In the afternoon, I dove the Atlantic. That was kind of neat. The next day, I went on the Panama Canal tour, which was the longest day of my life. They pick you up at 9. By the time you get everybody else picked up, it's 12. You get on the boat, it's like 6 hours to go through the canal.
But they put you in the canal?
Yeah, I went down three different locks.
Wow.
Yeah, on a boat with about 120 people. Now, that boat itself got a very special rate because of the tourist thing, and that was $3,200 to pass through the canal. Now, there's three rules.
The tourist boat, yep. $3,200?
Yep, three rules in the canal. Three rules to pass through the canal. First, money. You have to have the money in the account of the Panama Canal, wherever that is, whatever bank that is, whatever it is, 48 hours in advance wired in. That's the first rule. Second rule is that your boat has to be seaworthy. They have to be tested and make sure to provide whatever papers are required because they don't want these gigantic boats stuck in the canal.
Right. That would cost a lot.
Yeah. The third thing is you have to have an official Panama captain on your boat.
A pilot.
Yeah, pilot. Every single boat, no matter what size it is, you get a pilot. It was kind of cool because when we came out through the Pacific side, all these boats were still running and you had these little pilot boats pull up next to them and these ladders come down, these gigantic boats, and people just walking down these rope ladders to get onto the pilot boats to get off. And supposedly they make anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 a year and there's 320 pilots that are there.
Yeah, well, pilot in the San Francisco Bay Area makes something like that.
Now, the other thing was there was a sailboat that was along with us. In the lock that I was in, there was three different locks. The first lock, it dropped 27 feet. Actually, I went through three locks that dropped 27
feet. What did it cost for you to take this ride?
About $110.
Okay.
And there was another boat behind us, one of these gigantic car container things. It looked like, I can't even describe what it looked like. It was just enormous. I mean, bigger than, I'm down here in Florida. I see these things all the time. This one was large, and it's coming in. It's got these, on either side of the canal, there's these locomotives, mini locomotives that attach cables to the front and the side of the boat, and it pulls it through the canal. It gets it set. We had a sailboat with us. The sailboat, which was about a 35-foot sailboat, cost them $900.
Okay.
To pass through the canal. Now, depending on the size, depending on the, I guess, weight and freight, whatever it is, it could be anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000, supposedly. That's what they say, to pass through the canal for these big boats.
I wonder what that car boat cost.
That must have been a lot. The choice is you could take 22 hours around the other way.
Yeah, that's 22 hours of you. Right.
Or maybe it's 22 days. No, 22 days.
No, it wouldn't be 22 hours. It has to be longer than
22
that.
Days, I think it is, or something like that. And this is about an 8 to 12 hour process.
Yeah.
So I was on there, and we went down the one lock. The second lock we went in was the flow was a lot faster. It was a lot more difficult for the sailboat to keep in touch, locked on us. And the third lock had a really swift current.
There were two of you in your little group?
No, there was 100.
Oh, how long is the lock area?
When you're in the lock, it's probably about 20 minutes per lock. They get you set up because the other boat has to come in. They close the back, and then they start taking
over. How long is it? How many boats get in there, you say?
The one I was in was my boat, which was about 120 feet long, the sailboat, which attached to us, and this other monster behind us.
That was it, the three?
Yeah. There's two locks at a time.
You'd think that you'd get some sort of a bar, a discount.
We did get a discount. Supposedly, we pay like 30% of what the really running rate is because we're a tourist boat and we're, whatever it is. But I was trying to the whole time figure out how they make money on this deal, and it didn't seem to work out too well for me. I was like, it's $100, $10,000, $3,500 for this.
Yeah, it's probably government subsidized on top of it.
So they make a lot of money from this, half of the entire country. Now they're trying to make it bigger. I heard actually. Nicaragua's trying to make a canal now?
Or Guatemala, one of the two.
Yeah. Boy, that's going to be a lot.
If you look at the map of where there's the Chinese building that. And they think they can, they can get bigger boats in.
Yeah.
I don't know how big you want to make the boat, but okay.
Right.
And I don't know if they're ever going to get that thing completed.
Well, take plenty of time. The Panama Canal is still, they're still trying to dredge and do and get this whole thing going over here. Supposedly I guess the cheapest ever crossing of the canal was like 50 years ago. Some guy, some big name guy, swam across it and he paid 28 cents.
He charged 28 cents for him to swim?
Yeah.
Just be in there, swimming around?
Stupid stories to tell you. Now, the other thing that was really obnoxious in Panama, you go to the casino, right? So there's a bunch of casinos. First of all, the rules are so slanted in this country towards the casino, more so than other places.
Oh, so it's not even really a casino. It's just a ripoff.
Yeah, it's a total ripoff. Not only are you ripped off at the tables, but let's say you cash in $100 and you get chips. And let's say you play and you leave the table with $100. Okay, you didn't win, you didn't lose, right? You're done for the night, you're done for the week, whatever. You go to the cage to cash out the $100. You hand them the $100 in chips, they hand you back $94.50. There's a 5.5% check-in tax.
Wow.
The first time that happened, I'm like, huh? That guy didn't cash in $1,000. Crazy. This supposedly is going to pay for the retirement and other educational needs of the Panamanians.
Yeah, right.
Now, the food of choice down there is ceviche. Plenty of ceviche. Every kind of ceviche you can make. It's like peanut butter ceviche and apple pie ceviche. It's like ceviche everywhere. I had a very interesting meal, an authentic meal one day when I went up to the caves through the eastern part. We sat down and they served us first a nice bowl of hot soup, cow foot soup. Have you had it?
I've never heard of cow foot.
That's what they called it, cow foot soup. I don't think it's a slang either. I think it really is cow foot soup.
There's not a lot of nutrition in a hoof.
Yeah, well, it tasted like, not much. Just tastes like soup. Then I had, they had this biscotta, this nice little thing. I had pork knuckle. Big, nasty, gelatinous, fatty, no meat. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I tried it. I just couldn't get going on it.
Is pork knuckle, don't you just grind away on it and get some of the gelatinous stuff off?
I guess, but I just couldn't get it. It just didn't do it for me. The tripe was good. That was interesting. But quite the experience.
You didn't get sick?
No, didn't get sick. Drank plenty of their local beer. That was good. There's a Chinatown there because a lot of the Chinese settled there to build a canal. And that's they have. It's interesting. There's also, I guess, prostitution's legal there. They told us, everybody said, oh, you got to go to this casino. Go to this casino. So I took my son and I went to this casino, and you couldn't sit at any of the seats at the slot machines because all of them were taken up by hookers. Hookers everywhere.
So if you wanted to play a slot machine, you had to,
I guess,
buy off a hooker?
Yeah. And the place was just gross. And so I decided, I'm going to take a picture of all these hookers. Oh, my God. I almost got killed. It was like, you're taking pictures of me? I'm like, no. My camera doesn't work. I'm just, I was just kind of like picking it up, looking around. Nothing. They got so angry at me.
Why?
I guess they don't want their picture somewhere, you know, hey, look at all the hookers over here. And you got a picture of, Maria. And you know, Mama Maria happens to follow me on Twitter or something like that, and I'm posting that.
Oh, yeah, I could see that being a problem.
Anyway, so we're back, and all things are great. I have a big birthday coming up. I'm going to be actually over 50 this weekend, officially turning 51. Yep, thank you. And one of the other reasons that I wasn't available is because I had that special treatment when you get to be 50 you have to have.
It's something the Jews do.
Is this what it was? Is that a Jewish thing? Is it really?
No, I don't know. I'm just, I just threw it in there. You don't know, do you?
They have a fetish of the tux. So I had that colonoscopy. You had those, right?
I had one.
Oh, what a pleasure. It's the whole pro. If you haven't had one of these, it's a very interesting cleanse of the entire insides of your colon. Well, that was I felt very fresh afterwards, fresh as a daisy. I did, you know?
A lot of people get pinched or something, and they have their, like, ill for, like, months.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, when they cut?
I don't know what happens.
Yeah, they cut them, and then they do...
I don't even like thinking about
it. Yeah, let's not talk about bowels anymore. Daylight savings time is here, though. That's good news, right?
No.
No, why not?
Well, I mean, how's it good news?
You have longer hours in the evening. It stays lighter.
Yeah, but you lost an hour, and now it's like you. I don't know. It just seems like I'd rather, if you're gonna just stick with one of these two.
Yeah,
stick with this is fine. Let's just do daylight savings time 20 all year round.
Well, then it wouldn't be daylight savings time. It'd just be the time.
It'd just be regular time.
Just be time. This is the time.
Once known as Prince. You know.
Would you also do away with leap year?
No, you can't do that because the calendar, otherwise things don't match up pretty soon. You know, it'd be snowing in July. Take a while.
20 years later, what the hell? Climate change is hell. Well, there's been a lot of stories about this whole daylight savings time in that there's all sorts of problems. There's excessive car accidents and just, I guess, maybe some kind of related to maybe... homicidal actions and things like that. People are just miserable, I guess. First day.
1 hour sleep means a lot to some people.
You couldn't go to sleep 1 hour earlier? That doesn't count?
Not necessarily. If you're really regimented, you can't do that. Mm. You can't all of a sudden you go to bed every night at 10:30 or 11:30. Every night for year after year because you get up the next day every year, year after year. You've been doing this now 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And now you got to change and you got to go to sleep an hour early. You won't be able to fall asleep.
Yeah. I got up that morning at about 5, that Sunday morning. I was going fishing, and it was dark.
Well, I had to do the No Agenda show, so I had to get up at what amounted to 6.
Oh. Adam wouldn't budge. Oh, well, the listeners wouldn't budge. Now, let me tell you what's going on. We've talked about this whole thing of unicorns, right?
Yeah, I have a column in tomorrow's PC Magazine groaning about the usage, the development and the usage of the word unicorn. And I think it's at least as bad or worse than anything since click and mortar.
Click and mortar and brick and, what's the other one?
There's a bunch of them.
Now, what's interesting, people may think that we bring these things up just to maybe promote your PC Magazine articles. But the fact of the matter is, we write these things kind of independent of that knowledge. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So why would you? It isn't published till tomorrow.
There you go. So now
exactly this is why you were thinking about it while I was writing is another issue.
It could be. Maybe we're like, we have a kismet thing going on. Some kind of like a, you know, a mind meld.
Could be.
Now, this guy, Prem Watsa, the investor who, this guy who heads Fairfax Financial, and he was all, you know, telling about the drop in technology company shares 2 years ago, saying this whole idea that, well, many of these quote-unquote unicorns, maybe these private companies that have these ridiculous valuations, like whether you want to think Uber. By the way, there was Uber down in Panama. That was the best. So cheap. Huh. It was ridiculously cheap. Anyway, so like Uber or Lyft or whatever company it is, Dropbox, Box, where they came and they just got ridiculous valuations like back in the 2000s. And they, you know, kind of went up and up. Now we're starting to see a lot of companies that are holding these right down the values of many of these companies. So there's a new name. We've gone to unicorns, right? Unicorns to unicorpses.
Ah, cute.
A little play on words there.
A pun.
Yeah, a little pun. So, you know, you look at like a Twitter and a Yelp that was kind of this unicorn. I still don't even understand what the whole unicorn thing is. It's this magical beast of just perfection. Is that the whole point?
No, it actually stems from a paper that was written by this woman, Eileen Liu or Lo or something. I can't remember her last name right now off the top of my head, but she used to be a VC at Kleiner, and then she started her own agency, Cowboys or something, Cowboy VC. She wrote this thing in 2013, I think, and she was saying, she was talking about the inordinate number of companies that were startups that had a valuation of $1 billion, and she arbitrarily named them unicorns.
Hmm.
And she it took off because everyone likes it. And, of course, it's dumb because unicorns are fictitious bull crap. And unless you're trying to imply that these companies are fictitious bull crap.
Right.
And she meant to imply that they were rare because not every startup, to say the least, becomes worth $1 billion quick. And then so she just threw this word in there, unicorn. And then everybody glommed onto it instead of just saying $1 billion valuation startup, which is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, we're so in love with these monikers, aren't we? These headings. These.
I don't think the public at large is so much as these communities.
Mm.
It's code. Because if you use these words, you know, oh, you're on the in crowd. This is just code words. It's like any other little clique. They have their own way of saying, talking, and doing all this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you check out that unicorn. Hey, you got another PBR over there for me to drink? Those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens with this, but it's clearly been some interesting write-downs. The IPO market pretty much dried up. We saw some numbers out of Jefferies today, which looked at their revenue from trading and IPOs and various other banking, and it felt more than fell off a cliff. It fell into a sinkhole. It's just gone. It's like the 80% drop in their revenue, which is really interesting because it looks like the markets have had a lot of volatility. That should be good for them. But it seems like a lot of the fixed income trading, and it's just all dried up. Now, that kind of says in a way that retail investors and even hedge fund guys aren't investing and trading and involved as much. It's more so the machines maybe that are being run internally by these various companies and, you know, the whole thing. It's kind of a weird situation, which is kind of why probably we have more volatility recently, because it's a lot less of shares, et cetera, moving around. Or, you know, it takes a lot less to move the shares around.
Well, I'm trying to figure out whether the IPO market is going to ever catch. I mean, people have been, one of the reasons I ran into the unicorn concept is because somebody, Bill Gurley, I think, is a venture capitalist of some sort. I know the guy. He said there's too many of these unicorns and it's going to cause a collapse, like 1999, 2000.
But in the public market or in the private market or both?
Well, see, I don't see in any market because the 2000 crash was because of too many IPOs, and now you're telling me there's none.
Right. And the thing is that it's kind of like a tree in the forest, right? If a company fails in the private sector, do you even hear it?
No.
It's, you know, it's who's involved. It's not the, your average
nobody.
Joe,
the right. public's not. And we know, you know, I know, everybody who knows anything knows that there's not, nothing's a true crash unless the public is completely screwed.
Yep, exactly.
It's not the pros that are screwed, it's the public. And so the public has to be deeply involved. Right. And they were back in that era.
And this is the time when the private side should be shoveling this manure to the public.
Yeah, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a ways off.
Yeah. Well, there's a weird story that happened while we were on our little time off. I don't know if you followed this, but Aubrey McClendon, did you have you followed this at all? He's the guy from Chesapeake.
Oh, yes, yes, I have followed it. Yeah, great story.
Unbelievable story. So that, so this guy has been under fire for a long time. He was removed from his board. He was Chesapeake Energy, one of the original creators of like shale development and the whole, really the beginning of the wave of natural gas and energy inside the United States and various different ways of gathering it from, whether it was drilling, fracking, all these cool things.
He was a pioneer in
yeah.
fracking.
Yeah. So this guy, there was always something a little bit not
sketchy.
Right. Yeah.
Sketchy is the word.
Yeah, sketchy. And so he was removed from his board and a lot of different things were going on in the background. The company was going to go bankrupt. It came back and all this. And he was indicted on violations of the Sherman Act. Now, you're probably much more familiar than this than I am. But the Sherman Act is has not been in utilized for anything for like, I don't know, 60 years?
I think longer than that.
Some ridiculous.
Well, maybe not. That would be Sherman Antitrust Act would be the 30s. So maybe closer to... Maybe 60 might be okay.
So 60 years, and that means that the probability just from that statement is that there has to be a very, very significant amount of things that have happened that have wronged the public and wronged whatever it is to get nailed on this thing. And if you are nailed on this thing, it's not like they're just going to just throw that at you. It's probably going to be an open and shut case. They probably have done their due diligence. Yeah. So this guy. He's indicted on the violation of the Sherman Act, and the next day, he comes on CNBC that morning, and some other people were on there, and a few things, and oh, they'll get through it and all. The next day, he dies in a very crazy car accident. Now, he's driving a Chevy Tahoe. He's in Oklahoma, and I guess they got... Do all cars have these black boxes that record everything you do?
Most new cars do, yes. Hmm.
So it seems that his car was going 89 miles an hour. There wasn't a lot of skid marks. He tapped on the brakes, supposedly from this report, in his natural gas vehicle. And he crossed over the center line, but really didn't slow himself down. Wasn't wearing a seatbelt and died as he hit the corner of this bridge at about 78 miles an hour.
Yeah. That sounds like murder to me.
Murder or suicide?
What kind of a suicide is this?
There's
lots of ways to. Unless he was going for some insurance thing for his family, but there's a million ways to commit suicide. This is not on the list.
So give me the rough picture
head
of how
on collision. 90% of the time, you end up as a vegetable in the hospital. Not a very good thing to. No,
it's not. It's not like a sure thing. Like maybe shooting yourself in the face with a shotgun.
No, well, that's for sure.
Right,
shotgun in the mouth.
Yeah,
tends to fit.
Do the job.
Do the job. I hate to laugh at that, but it's true.
Or jumping off a very, very tall building.
That would do it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are kind of things. So this kind of thing is like it's an iffy. It's a maybe I'm gonna break a few legs in my chest and the car will explode and I'll be burned up but not dead. So this is not one of those things that you're like, okay, this is. So you're thinking it's possibly murder. Now, who's going to murder him?
I watch too much television.
Well, how do you even set this up?
Well, there's the remote control car angle.
Oh,
it was a brand new car, let's face it.
Oh, it was hacked, maybe.
Hacked the car. I mean, that's kind of corny script from a couple TV shows. I don't even know if it's that easy. I think you can sabotage the car, to do stuff.
Oh, how about this? They killed him. They crashed the car. They put the car on fire and put him back in. Just saying.
No, I think they kept him in the car. You chloroform the guy and you push the button and the car goes to high speeds and turns into the corner of a bridge.
The old brick on the gas pedal.
You know, that's, I think, the screw up that they didn't put the seatbelt on him, because I think any guy like that would wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, you would think so.
I think so.
Okay.
How old was he? He wasn't like 70.
He was like, no.
Yeah,
like
if you're 70 or 80, you might not want to wear a seatbelt because you're an old fogey, but everyone wears seatbelts. Mm.
All right, moving on from that morbid story. Let's take a look. Let's see. Just as the markets turned up, listen, when we last left off, things were looking pretty, kind of miserable with the markets. And all of a sudden.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It was, and I was getting notes from my friends. Oh, we're all going to die. There's no bottom in sight. And then, I said, this has got all the earmarks of a correction. All the earmarks of a correction. There's no reason to panic.
So, and then oil decided to turn up because there was some murmurs and rumors and there was going to be a cut in production, but turned out to be a freeze. Iran then gave the middle finger and said, that's not happening. We saw gigantic builds. We saw a 10 million build and a 3 million build barrel build for the 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, markets turned back. We had about a 7% rally or so on the S&P 500. The Dow went from... I mean, I think the Dow and the S&P are only down like 2% for the year, 1.5%, 2% for the year. They were down like 8 or 9%. And now, guess what? Now is the time that the big brokerage houses are starting to slash their year-end targets for the S&P 500. Huh. Morgan Stanley went to 2050, which is, if you look at that number, is exactly 17, I believe it's exactly 17 times 110, I believe it is. Getting the calculator. Hang on.
Was this saying 2050?
Yeah, 2050, which is pretty close to that right now.
That's 17, what? 20 what? 20.
What no, it's 1870. It's
2015.
Yeah, so it's $120 per share of earnings, which is the estimate, which would be about an 18% rise from last year, which I find hysterically impossible, and a 17 times multiple. So something's not quite right. But we did see this tremendous move in oil, and we saw another move in the oil companies. Now, one of the things that's really interesting is that one of the moves that helped really propel many of these companies is when they went out and did secondary offerings, not just small little share offerings like maybe a million shares, like 100 million shares. Hmm. And what happened was all these companies that were having difficulty potentially paying dividends, they slashed dividends already. There was a big question about their balance sheet and the assets they had in order to pay back their debt and to pay the interest on their debt. So they go out and they do this gigantic offering, and mind you, at a very low price. But they refill the coffers. So they give themselves they resuscitate themselves for a little while so they can run, even if oil stays low. You saw in the past 30 days, Halliburton up 22%, Helmerich & Payne 29%, Chesapeake Energy 176%, Marathon Oil, which did... a 123 million share offering up 49%. Lynn Energy up 157%. Continental up 43%. Now, mind you, this was written earlier today. And if you kind of look at some of these numbers, Lynn Energy is now down 60%. So it's back down to where it started. And a lot of these stocks got crushed pretty well in the last couple of days.
Well, then, they should.
Yeah. So... and that's just with a small drop of oil over the last couple of days. As Iran said, we're not cutting production. Sorry.
No, Iran, this is their, Iran, this is their opportunity. They don't know when they're going to get cut off or sanctioned again.
Right.
They're not going to be circumspect.
Right.
They're going to open the valves and get it while they can. They're very suspicious.
I also was thinking about something today that I thought was interesting. So, you know how we've been saying that when companies do share buybacks, we see that the earnings per share rise. We know that. This is a little financial...
It's a scam. Insurance. This is one of your pet peeves. This and bare feet at the airport.
Yeah, oh, boy.
The two things.
Yeah. But the other thing is, think about this. So if a company is losing money per share, so the exact opposite of making money and then buying back shares and they goose their profits, right? Because there's less shares outstanding and then the... profits are divisible over less shares and you get more per share earnings. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Companies losing money. They do a share offering, a massive share offering. So now they're going to spread the loss over more shares, which means the loss will not look as bad. How do you like that trick?
Well, yeah, that's just the opposite of the other trick.
Yeah. How do you like that?
I'm thinking about that. That's not a bad idea.
Right? So now you have, instead of having, let's just say, a 30 cents per share loss, you do a massive share offering. You fill up your bank account again with all sorts of money because the public will just buy whatever it is. And then instead of a 30 cents per share loss, you're at 20 cents. 10 cents better off.
Yeah, you look better.
Yeah.
But if you start making money, you're not going to look as good as quickly unless you start doing the buyback. Maybe you just did this perpetually.
Yeah, just go up. Maybe times are bad, you do you send it out and you do secondaries and then you buy it back to make it look better. Crazy. Crazy.
And how is that not stock manipulation?
I don't think anybody's saying it's not stock manipulation, but it is. If it's in the interest of the public, it's okay. It's the same thing as if markets rallied 10% in a day, everybody's like thumbs up. Everybody's happy. The president's going to make a little announcement saying that things are great and all that. But it's going to be kind of general quiet. Nothing's going to happen. Stocks are down 10% in one day. Everybody's talking about, we got to do something about this. We're going to provide this. We're going to do that. We're going to, prop up the markets. We're going to, that's all. It's just as long as it's okay by the public, then it's okay, which I get. I mean, that makes sense. As long as, we're not going to get hurt by something and it's benefiting us, then we'll play along. But if it's going to hurt us, nope, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, playing along.
Yeah. Let's take a moment, just a moment, to talk about politics, shall we?
Okay.
So Trump he has canceled several rallies due to violent protests. Some discussion, you must have had a discussion about this on No Agenda, about the commentary that these have been planted people to rile up the public.
Yeah, well, that's dirty tricks. I mean, I'm always stunned by the current news media. I guess none of them can relate back to the Nixon administration and before that, when dirty tricks were part of the political landscape. And dirty tricks used to take all kinds of different forms. And one of the things, they had these famous guys, Dick Tuck. People can look him up. Dick Tuck is one of these famous guys.
Dick Tuck.
And Segretti is another one that worked for Nixon. And these guys would pull this kind of stunt that when I see these things, it's obvious to me it's a dirty trick. They had a picture, for example, in Chicago where Trump left, and there's a picture in the Chicago Tribune right on the front page of a little old lady with a Trump sash and giving the Heil Hitler salute. It's cute because she's a little old lady. She's a little old lady. She's very small. And so she's surrounded by blacks. Who for some reason laughed this off instead of beating the crap out of her if she was sincere. This was a plant. Mm-hmm. There's no little old ladies that are... you don't see little old ladies supporting Trump. They all support Hillary. Hillary's got the little old ladies. They don't support Bernie. They don't support Trump. They don't support anybody but Hillary. In fact, she's got a monopoly on little old ladies. So why is this little old lady all of a sudden, and why is she giving a Heil Hitler salute? This is bull crap.
I'll tell you what this is.
Nobody in the media calls this out as total nonsense.
This is either one of two things. This is a woman flagging down a cab or a Photoshop job. Right?
No, it was a real picture.
Yeah, but who knows what she was actually doing?
It's a hilarious photo.
Mm. Well, don't forget that the average media journalist, news writer these days is so indoctrinated to believe that commercials are true and that whatever is on the media is true, that that's their baseline.
It's pretty grim.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, Trump seems to have captivated somehow, magically. Did we have a show with Ted Cruz's crumb? Did you see that?
No, I never saw
that. Oh my God, you didn't see this? This was unbelievable. During the debate, Ted Cruz is talking and he's yapping about something, and all of a sudden, in this, how do I describe what it was? Maybe a white ball, little, what would be the size, like a size of a small white piece of something, pops out of his mouth and lands on his body.
Oh no, that, yeah, you sent that around.
Was that the best?
It's a gob of like dough or something that was in his mouth. It was floating around his lip. It was horrible to watch.
It was horrible. It was funny. I was doubled over and cramping. But to be honest with you, I was laughing so hard. It was so sad for the guy, though. Anyway, Trump seems to, you know, even calling this guy Little Mario and all the things that he's done and, you know, this whole thing. He seems
Little
to...
Little Marco,
yeah. So Marco Rubio seems to be pulling out. He lost in Florida.
Yes, you're in Florida now as we speak.
Yep, and he's gone. And it looks like that Trump is pulling away pretty well here from the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, but he's not beating Kasich in Ohio, so that's
okay.
Going to keep this carnival act going a lot longer.
And now you have, I don't know if you've been seeing this, but everywhere the Trump goes, now you have New Jersey guy.
Chris Christie's
everywhere.
Tagging along.
Oh, yeah, it's tagging along.
He likes to be, I think he likes the jet, I think his jet is well appointed.
Yes, and probably has a buffet. Right? I'm just saying.
Yes, it probably has a buffet. That's probably true.
Anyway, so it looks like that Trump is going to be coming up, and it seems to be, I don't know what's going to happen. There's been some recent calls that if Trump is president, that market, actually, I saw one today that the market will drop, the S&P will drop 50% within the 4 years
sure
of his presidency.
Sure it will.
I don't know. He's, you know, some of the things he's doing with his building his wall, the 40-foot, 50-foot wall, you know, and all that. So in last week's,
I think if Bernie got in, the market could take a hit.
Yeah. Well, did you see that great picture where someone stole half of Bernie's sign?
No.
He said, you know what? You have a full sign. I don't have any sign. I'm going to take half of yours. You know, as in socialists, you know, should pass around. If you don't have, well, somebody should give you. You follow what I'm saying?
You should work on doing a Bernie accent.
Hey, what did Bernie Sanders? It's just a New York kind of fluffy thing with Northeastern Jewish guy. You know what I'm saying? Just,
yeah, that's you're already close.
You gotta grumble a little bit more. You gotta do the lips. You gotta get the lips going, you know? Yeah. Twitter is social media. How do you make sense of the financial world? I don't know.
I think you could nail this. With a little, not much practice, you could nail this sucker.
So on this week's Disciplined Investor podcast.
It'll be good at dinner parties.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Put a little, maybe a wig on or something like that, wear a suit that's way too big on me and kind of flops
just
over.
Just the voice.
Yeah. So I talked about something. Something's been bothering me. Not that things don't bother me that often, as you know. Twitter and social media. You know, how to make sense of all the stuff in the financial world that's going on. And I was starting to think about all the different players out there that had all their different agendas that were going on. And I was thinking about all the different people that I would read and follow and what they say, and I kind of set them up into groups to kind of give me a little bit of perspective on who they were, to understand more about where they were coming from, to understand that, you know, who I should read, who I shouldn't, who I should think, okay, this is what they're saying because this is their angle. So let me give you a list of what I came up with, okay? And you may tell me if you agree with this. You may have some too.
Okay.
First of all, there's the after of factors. The after the factors. These are people that, you know, about 2 months ago we were talking about that, and that's exactly how we played it, et cetera, et cetera. Talking about stocks or markets and things like that. They never give you the thing at the real time. They never tell you what's going on. They just tell you somehow after the fact, and they're always right. You've seen these, right?
Yeah.
You got the told you sowers. These are the ones that are always telling you, oh, I told you the market was bottomed out. You know, you should have listened to me when I told you this. This is one guy in particular that in the beginning of March, he was talking about, yeah, you know, I've been bullish for 6 weeks. I told you the market was going to come up. I'm like thinking to myself, if you were bullish for 6 weeks, then that had to be February. February, the markets were kind of crumbling. So if you were bullish in February or even January 15th, that wasn't good.
This is nonsense.
Okay. Then you got the vague range gang. These are guys, you know, well, we got the, this stock, we see that this stock could go anywhere from $20 to $60. And maybe it's at $32 right now, something like that. You know? It's like,
yeah, this is something you became a pet peeve with you about a year ago.
Yeah. How do you make any kind of reason out of any of that?
Yeah.
You know, they kind of give you a vague range. Then they can tell you they're right, by the way. All of these.
Yeah, your range.
All of these have the same thing in common, that they're all going to be right all the time. right? Because they keep on saying the same thing over and over. It's like a, you know, clock, broken clock. You know, and you have the complainers. They just complain about everything. You know, they're just you know, they hit people on Twitter that maybe are on TV or something. They just complain. They can't find anything nice to say. They find a complaint about something that you said this and that didn't write right. You know, you didn't. How can I trust you because you misspelled a word in your blog post?
I that's a common character. Yes.
Yeah.
You got the misspelled a word. Yeah. Thus, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot. You got the pump and dumpers. These are guys that are just out there pumping it up. Oh, you got to, this stock is, you really got to play. And you got to, these guys, all they want to do is just run the stock up to try everything they can to move it, come up with some reason why, push it, because they have it in their book. Now, one that really pisses me off is the pompous parade.
The what?
The pompous parade. This is the ones that just, holier than thou, and, you know, they know everything, and they should have done this, and you should have, it's kind of the combination of the told you sowers and kind of the after the factors in one. They knew this was happening. You're such an idiot. You know, this is why what we do is the right way to do it. And we do this because, you know, this is the way to invest and everybody else is stupid. And you got the click and sellers. These guys really piss me off. This is where they put up a tweet. You click the tweet and all you're getting is a gigantic banner to click here to find out more or write your email in if you want to find out more and you can't get anywhere. So they put this nice little title like, nuclear attack imminent, click here or something, whatever it is.
Well, yeah. My favorite in that group, just to interrupt you for the split second, is the one where you click on the tease and then they start playing a video that is not really anything but words. And it begins a very long lecture that I don't know how long these things go on because I can never get to the end of them. But they go on and on and on about something that's going to happen unless you do this.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you what to do. They just keep teasing you with these. And it's usually, sometimes it's a cartoon they draw. There's some guy that draws these cartoons. And they have, you know, your little cartoons of people and they're moving around and they're buying and selling. But sometimes it's just these words, just a bunch of words on the screen. It's like a movie of words.
Right.
I find those very annoying. Anyway, yep. Go on.
And usually in black and white to make it look like it's a catastrophe of some sort. It's usually to buy gold.
Yeah.
Then you got the negative Nellies. These are people that just, no matter what happens, you know, it's all negative. Every bit of news is negative. They don't, if there was a positive news item, somehow that they won, you know, $2 million in lottery, they're just going to tell you about the taxes they have to pay. And then you got the other guys, the positive posse. These guys are aggravating too, because these are like some of the guys from the various news media that just, you know, everything is positive. So it's like, you know, oil is 27. Well, that's good because it's a really low price to buy it. The stock is moving. Oil is moving higher. It's 37. You know what? It's breaking out.
The
company lost 3 cents. Well, that's a cent better than they anticipated. So that's really good considering all the things that are out there. Anyways, that's my little Twitter and social media aggravation. Doesn't seem like anybody's authentic anymore. Or maybe these people are authentic, but I just can't stand them.
No. Everyone's posing. That's what you do on social media.
Big poser, right? Everybody's posing. All right. Let me tell you about another aggravating event that happened today, Monday. Walked in my office, turned on one of my computers, and all of a sudden says, "Congratulations, you've upgraded to Windows 10." I said, "I did? When did I do that? Have you seen this?"
No, it hasn't happened to me.
Yeah, they're doing auto upgrades now. Microsoft, if you had a reservation or you clicked the thing about, yeah, I'm thinking about Windows 10 upgrade, and the little thing comes up in the corner and says, "Hey, do you want to upgrade?" No, not now. Let it go.
Well, I've had that happen. I did upgrade one machine, but my main machine, which has got a legitimate copy of the program, has never been approached.
Well, this is a thing. There's been many reports on this automatic upgrade. I think it's very rude and very.
They're doing you a favor.
I felt violated. Let's see here. Let's kind of go down here. Japan Central Bank, we know that they're going into the negative zone. And actually, yesterday they had an interesting meeting where they put out all these different things about their inflation and they guided down on the economy and they talked about some things they'll be doing, but they're not going to do it right now. One of the things that was really interesting was the lack of a discussion about their negative interest rate policy, also known as NERP. And it looks like they may be rethinking this tool after all the damage it did recently in markets. I thought that was kind of an interesting situation that's going on there. And
good.
The yen rose like crazy. You see there's a little chart there, about 1% higher on the yen. Dollar came down. That wasn't very good for the Japanese markets. All right, let's take a moment and talk about the close to the pin competition, shall we?
Yeah.
We have our first winner. Now, this is first winner. Now, just to let you know, maybe I'll give him a... We have these great T-shirts.
I think if we perfect this thing, it'd be a fantastic game for the public at large.
Yeah, it's working. It's going. It's fully automated. We got prices pulling in from here. We got stuff going from there. We got all these automation happening. So basically what we do is that we John and I come up with a stock, and we have a period of time that is open for entries where you have to guess the price on a particular day that we choose in the future, usually about a week or so later, that says, okay, what is the price of this stock going to be on that day? And there's a time period that is open, let's say for a week, then it closes for a week so that the stock can do its thing, and then the final price is announced. This way, nobody gets to...
It closes for a week so somebody doesn't come in at the last second like they're bidding on eBay and jump the price.
Exactly. So you've seen the pages and stuff, and Walt Disney was the first one that we did. We had 70 participants. The average person's guess, the average guess of all the participants was $96.19. And the final price was $97.94, not too far away. The winner was Peter Hensley. Peter Hensley with a guess of $97.83. It's only about, half a percent away. And actually, you can look at this because if you go to the DH Unplugged site and you go to find the CTP contest, we call CTP, the closest to the pin, and you do the drop down, you can see all the list of all the contests that are running. Right now, Ford has been closed. I think Tesla's closed. Is Tesla closed? I think Tesla's closed. I'm going to click
Tesla.
That.
Yeah, Tesla.
Tesla's closed. Have you seen this page? We've got a nice little edge running
on
it now.
I'm looking at it now.
Isn't that nice to see the little no agenda thing up there? See that?
Yeah, no, it's outstanding.
Yeah. Right now, this is now ticking away at who? This guy's right on, really? Wow, Todd A. is one penny off on Tesla right now. I'm off by 8%. You're off by 3%. But Todd A. is, we have a lot of people in this one.
When does it close?
This one is going to, it's on the top here. The final price date is 3/18. The close of the markets on Friday. I believe it's Friday. So that's pretty good. Todd A., man, you're pretty good there. So the site, when you go there, it shows you the little bit about the company, a little chart you can click and see what's going on. With the price of the company we're talking about, a little bit about the company, the latest stock price on close, all this good stuff. Nice automation here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Yeah, our guys did a great job on this. Anyway, getting back to this. So right now, open for entries is Ford. We got to pick a stock for next week. You have any ideas? Any thoughts? Any names?
I don't know. I would like to do something a little. Well, Ford's a good one, but I was thinking of something like, I think another one that would be kind of stable, be worth playing with because you never know what's going to go on. It's one of the material, natural resource kind of companies like U.S. Steel. I think X.
Oh boy. That's a good one. We'll do X for the next one coming up. That'll be the week after. So make sure to come back to DH Unplugged. We'll try to tweet it out there. Now, what we do have, I don't think maybe I told you. One of our listeners, I'll mention your name. I don't have it right in front of me. I forgot your name right there. I apologize. Created a bunch of little logos for us some time ago. We have this really cool guy kind of smoking a cigar in a chair with the DH Unplugged on there. A nice little thing. We got these T-shirts. We got DH Unplugged T-shirts. Nice black T-shirts.
Black's good.
Yeah, black T-shirts. So basically, winners will be getting at least a T-shirt, if not more. We have other things we can give away too, but right now we're doing the T-shirts. So we'll contact you when you win. You tell us your address. We'll send you a T-shirt, a limited edition T-shirt. Anyway, so Peter Hensley, I'll contact you, but you can contact us. Busy couple of weeks coming up. Real quickly, we have central banks all over the place this week. We know that Europe went more negative on deposit rates, ramped up asset purchases, now including some corporate debt. Who knows what they're doing next? Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I believe it's 2 o'clock, is our central bank. people are saying that maybe they're going to raise rates here. I don't see how they're going to do that. However, we did see that inflation is ticking higher. Unemployment is very steady, but it's going to go against the rest of the world. So we'll see what happens there. Two more things before we get to our stocks. I thought this was a very interesting story. It seems that there's a little town called Hoosick Falls in New York. And there was an environmental emergency that was there that I guess the water was contaminated and people getting sick in that area in a town called Hoosick Falls.
Wow. That's a story.
Perfect place.
Yeah.
And this one is pretty interesting. One more kind of weird one. Two more food ones. Number one, did you see the video of the guy urinating in the Kellogg's plant on the Rice Krispies?
No.
Yeah. Guy was caught, and I guess Kellogg is you know, getting to the bottom of this whole thing. He was urinating on the production line, on the food.
God.
On the Rice Krispies.
This is one of the reasons you want to kind of shy away from manufacturing food.
Right. Well, you want to have a farm. You want to grow your own tomatoes. Chipotle, speaking of bad food and bad things, sales down more than 25%, posting probably one of its worst numbers.
Who?
Chipotle. They came out with some numbers that were horrible.
Chipotle, our favorite short.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking about our favorite short, we have to talk about this one situation that happened today. So if you've been following, we've been following this whole Valiant pharmaceutical situation since Hillary Clinton pointed the finger and started shaking her finger, right? And the kind of the walls started coming down around them and all sorts of problems with this specialty pharmaceutical that they had called Philidor. And the company was held by this guy, Ackman, at Pershing Square, a very well-known hedge fund manager, smart guy. Well, you decide smart after we discuss this. Put a lot of money into it, wrote it up to about 250 or so, and stocks started coming down. There were some questions about how they do things. One of the big issues was they would buy companies and buy a drug, and then just goose the price up dramatically. Then they would go out and promote the crap out of it. Didn't do any research and development on really anything else. Basically, what they are is a big they're like a timeshare kind of company, you know, where they just sell the crap out of something.
Yeah.
And you have nothing.
It's the American way.
Yeah. And so now the company, the president, who CEO, who was backing the whole, you know, saying, hey, this isn't bad. You got it all wrong and all that. This guy out of nowhere, this guy Pearson, gets this horrendous case of pneumonia. Has to withdraw being the CEO for like 2 months. Have you ever heard of somebody getting pneumonia for 2 months? That's got to be some pretty bad.
No, I am never. I can't say that I have. I mean, I could imagine it's possible viral pneumonia or some sort of a horrible complication.
Well, I've
never heard of such a thing. Usually you get it if you don't get rid of it in 3 weeks, you're dead.
Yeah. Well, this guy, he pulled out. Now he comes back. And a few weeks later, maybe about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks later, they're supposed to report their earnings. And he says, you know what? Let me just get back in my seat. Let me get things going. We'll postpone the earnings for a little while. So a couple weeks go by. Now, meanwhile, the last time the stock dropped from about 218 or 220 to about 85, Ackman was in there doing all sorts of funky things, buying up all sorts of shares, selling puts, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Okay. Saying that this is just crazy. These numbers are just ridiculous. The company is solid and, you know, the revenues are good and all this. Anyway, so they come out with earnings today. First thing they come out with some earnings that seem to have beat, but then their outlook was really light. It was something like they came out with outlook of about 6.2 to 6.4 billion, which is like $1 billion less than their estimates were going into it. Mm. And then during the conference call, they said, no, that wasn't right. The PR piece, it's really only 6 billion. You know, chopping off another $300,000
300 million.
Yeah, 300 million, or whatever the number was. It was some ridiculous number, whatever it was. Okay, so now the stock. I don't know if you saw the stock today. Down 51% today. This guy
down.
Down at about $33.
Well, there's a nice short.
Oh, now this was also actually, if you follow Citron Research, Andrew Leff, he was the one that broke the story originally on this, saying this thing is just going to go to kapui. This thing is a major house of cards. He's not shorted anymore, but supposedly this guy Ackman lost $1 billion today in his hedge fund.
Yikes.
I don't care who you are. That's not a fun day. $1 billion. His You could follow his tracking stock. These guys put out these tracking stocks. Einhorn did, Greenlight Capital, and Pershing Square. You could look up Pershing Square on like Google Finance or Yahoo. The thing is down like 39% year to date, which usually will track the value approximately of his hedge fund. His hedge fund was down like 22 or 23% last year and down like 39% this year. How ugly is that?
That's something I wouldn't want to have any part of.
Yeah, this guy was also the guy that came out about Herbalife, that Herbalife is a Ponzi scheme. He was the one that was promoting that whole issue.
Right.
They got him today on that. The markets are kind of like wobbly today. They pushed that up today just to get this guy right in the hoogies.
Huh.
Yep. Anyway, that's all I have with that. Let's take a look at the stocks.
Nothing but good news.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, stocks.
Take a look at the stocks. Now, just to let you know that we have a brand new and a really cool stock page that you can look at over on DH Unplugged. You can just click on anything that says weekly stock picks. It's on the top navigation, on the side. It's all over the place. But basically what we do is we come up with some ideas that may be very interesting to look at from a short or a long standpoint. And we track those on a very cool and updated live feed for how things are going with the stocks. And we have certain rules in terms of how we what price we buy them on. So anyway, this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation. If you want to buy any of these, you know, make sure to do your due diligence and see your own financial advisor. We take no liability for any of your losses. Of course, we do take a piece of your profits if you do win, though.
Yeah, we wish. So there's, since we were gone for 2 weeks, two whole shows, and that was the third one, everything got wiped out.
Pretty much, except for HYG, which is holding in pretty nicely, and your two monsters. And I think there's one thing on here that is so interesting, and that is on show 303 on the 17th of February, I said low prices on oil will probably be good for two things, possibly transportation. You said, that's an interesting idea. And I said, also the airlines. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go with Spirit Airlines. And you said, you know what? If I'm going to go with an airline, I'm going to have to go with Southwest. Now, this is fascinating. Look at the differential between Southwest Airlines during that period and Spirit Airlines.
Yes, you're down.
I'm down and out. Gone.
Oh, you've been kicked off.
Yeah.
Oh, it was that bad.
Yeah.
And I'm up 16%.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's
well, interesting. The difference between the two was that you were, I thought, and I'll tell you the way I felt about it, the only reason I've done the challenge, I thought you were a bit cavalier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you picked, of all the airlines, of all the great characters, carriers, you picked this stupid Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, the one everybody hates.
When there's a gem in the market, which is called Southwest.
Yeah.
I thought you were snubbing them.
We own Southwest, actually, for our portfolios.
Southwest is a fantastic company.
Yep.
I probably do more business with Southwest than anybody. And
what about you don't like JetBlue? Other JetBlue?
Carrier. I'm sorry?
You like JetBlue?
I've flown JetBlue, but if given a choice, I'd fly Southwest.
Mm. Well, you were right.
It's cheaper, and it's a great carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had anyone killed.
Oh, well, that's definitely a positive.
A lot of people don't realize that, but they have never had anyone killed. I mean, except you know somebody dies on a heart attack.
Mm.
Well, everything else got kicked off.
Pretty much, yeah. We'll just move those into the kicked off column.
Your Under Armour did end up with a gain, but it got kicked off.
Yep.
So what do you, we can reload.
I don't really, you know what? I am not feeling the love for anything right now in terms of the short or the long side. I mean, there's some things that I've been looking at that look really interesting. Clearly some of the Facebook has been very strong, for example. Apple has come out with a big announcement. Who knows what that's going to be? They got that whole thing going on with the feds. You look at some of the material companies, as you mentioned, whether it's Freeport MacMoran, which kind of went from $3.5, $4 to $10 recently. Some of these crazy small energy names. I think we're in a very weird place right now.
I think so too, but I have a pick.
Okay, what do you got?
CBAK. CBAK is the symbol. I'm going to need 20% on this.
What is that?
It's a Chinese battery maker.
Oh. And you're going to go long.
They're low. They're just. Prices come way down. and it bounced off the bottom and it's kind of been stable at the price it's currently at, which is what, about, I don't know.
The current price is last 9507? Is that the same company?
9507, no.
Let me see something here.
It's
D14, that's what I have. SBAC?
No, no, C.
Oh, SBAC.
C-back, C-B-A-K.
Oh, that's different.
It's $2.40 or so. Maybe it's gone up a little bit. It's a penny stock. C-back. And you know me.
It doesn't even like
As
it.
As a non-professional.
Why can't I put this in here?
C-back. I dabble in penny stocks.
This one's not showing up on our system.
Oh, maybe it's only trading.
This is a problem.
It could be a problem for this for the game.
Yep, it's not.
It must have another symbol for
SBAK.
CBAK.
I'm not getting any of this right, am I?
No. Charlie or China Baker.
Oh, China Back Battery.
There you go.
$2.31. Okay, yeah. So you like the battery. Now, do they do this for cars or what?
They're all purpose. These Chinese batteries, they make all kinds of batteries.
So you got
20. But the only reason I'm buying it, I don't care what kind of batteries they make. I don't see this that often. I don't see too much insider trading in Chinese stocks. But the CEO just bought, like, he didn't have any. And now he's bought into the company. So I have to assume good things ahead.
Okay, so it's gonna
I
be
need
three,
a 20% so 16, leeway on that so one, though.
16. C-back. Got it. Anything else making the rounds looking interesting? I mean, some of these energy companies, I mean, they're all over the place. They're either going to go bankrupt or they're going to fly.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could have the guts to actually commit to an energy company one way or the other.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I think so.
I mean, I saw these things rocket last week. It was. I was watching the screen. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Some of the numbers were ridiculous. 50, 60% a day. All over the place.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, we'll get this up. Like I said, make sure to check out the Closest to the Pin contest so you can win your very limited edition DH Unplugged t-shirt, black. It's a special.
Yeah, and
black.
As we develop this, we get more participants, we'll come up with some better gifts.
Yep,
oh, exactly. This, the t-shirt's a winner.
Yeah, that's nice. And, of course, you can listen to all the great and insightful information with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry on the No Agenda Show twice a week. Tune in for that. The Disciplined Investor podcast on Sundays as well. You got to visit all the various sites. Follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter and myself, Andrew Horowitz, on Twitter as well. So, hey, by the way, how do you like my Panama rainforest pictures?
I think they're fantastic.
You know, I didn't have a camera.
Yeah, you used your phone.
No, I didn't. I used this guy's camera. He had this Nikon point and shoot with a big lens on it. It was like a, well,
I think that's the Model 1 or something like that.
But it's a point and shoot, right? It's not a detachable lens.
It's not the one I'm thinking
of. But it's all in one piece. And this thing has a 2,000 times zoom.
Okay, it's one of those. Yeah, I know that's a genre.
That picture, that was not close, that monkey.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The howl of the monkey there and that you see that. You got to get a close look. A close look at the hummingbird, the transparent.
You can take good pictures with a lot of different cameras.
I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed at how good the pictures came out.
You could have bought it from him right on the spot.
He extended the tour for two different days as private guide. Really cool. This toursbylocals.com in any, you know, various countries. You can find local people that are tour guides and they give a little piece.
Oh, that's cool. I should really do that for the San Francisco Bay Area.
Really cool. Really, really cool.
I give a great tour of San Francisco.
Oh, I'll be your first customer.
What do they pay?
Whatever you want to charge.
I'll comp you.
Okay, that's good. They take 20%, the company, the toursbylocal.com. Great, great service, you know, because just unbelievable. I'll tell you about the swimming in the pitch black cave with the bats everywhere. Kind of cool.
Oh, God.
All right, until next week.
Swimming in bat dung.
Yeah, bat in guano. All right, I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.